Hi guys, JJ here. Welcome to Stories by JJ.com's Open Mic Podcast, a show for writers developing their craft and sharing it too. I'm JJ, author of an upcoming Kindle Vela series called The Star Strike. I'm just starting my publishing journey and discussing it to help you guys as much as possible along the way. I'll be examining the writing experience, publishing experience, offering helpful tips, and sharing my blog interviews with authors who are already doing it so we can learn together. Open Mic will include author readings, and hopefully readings from our audience soon if you guys are interested. If you'd like to share excerpts of your stories or books, please visit storiesbyjj.com/openmic. That's all for now. Let's get on with the show. Guys, welcome back to the Open Mic Podcast. I'm JJ here. Just some quick updates from me. Since the last episode, episode one on self-editing, I mentioned getting ready to release The Star Strike. So I've officially released The Star Strike. It's a sci-fi fantasy, more on dystopian style story. It's on Kindle Vela now. I actually have all the episodes up until episode 6 scheduled for release. So you can read 1 through 3 for free. And then it starts charging tokens if you're familiar with Kindle Vela. So I've been seeing readers coming in, very excited about that. If you are one of those readers out there, thank you so much for reading. It definitely means a lot to me. And I've been basically stretching my social media reach. If you're on Instagram, you can follow me at storiesbyjjg or on TikTok at storiesbyjj. Would love to hear from you guys, especially for listeners of the podcast. So that's been happening. This episode, we're going to continue talking about editing. On the episode one, I had some steps there and tips to help you guys with self-editing. So here we're going to talk about principles of editing, starting with continuity or consistency. I definitely want to start out with this one. It's one of the simpler principles to get into, but it's also involved in both developmental and line editing, or macro and micro editing. So we're going to talk about this one quickly. And then we have one author reading from Skylar Nightingale on her Kindle Vela. So definitely want to, excited to have you guys listen to that. She did a great job on the author reading and discuss her interview. And then I have an excerpt to read from Mark Pyle's Obsidian Monsters, also on Kindle Vela. I got to interview both authors on my blog last month. And if you haven't checked those out, you can definitely check those out at storiesbyjj.com. Great stuff there. I'm going to, you know, discuss some of the highlights from that interview for any of those who haven't read it. And yes, so let's get on with the show and discussing the beauty of editing. Discussing editing, it's very tricky because I feel like it's an important milestone when you're working on a writing project. And it's met with either anticipation, fear, or a blend of both sometimes. And really, it's the part of writing where the beauty can come out in your work, and you can let your work shine, and you can polish it and refine your work. There's so many steps to editing and all the different possibilities and what you can turn your story into. So it's easy to, you know, it feels almost mechanical when we're editing sometimes. And there are very, you know, parts of editing like grammar and different line edits that can seem like it takes to creativity out of the writing process. But there's another part of editing that really, you know, makes it come out more when you're looking at your work with a critical eye. You also have space to say, oh, okay, no, I could have wrote this better, or let me try to get a little creative with the sentence use, or in consolidating some of your word usage, you can find different ways to relate things to readers. So it's important to remember that when you're editing. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people are like, the editing process, or finishing the first draft, or looking at it like, oh my God, what a mess. But then you could turn that mess and polish it up. And it does start to become more creative the more you edit. And it's just when you have this huge manuscript, it can become daunting to writers, especially when you're just starting out. Like me, you know, I'm in this process and I know all the, you know, logical steps to take with it, but it's still, I have to like mentally check myself and be like, no, this is, you know, what you, when you really get to polish that and make it, you know, the best story it can be. So I just wanted to add that in there for new writers. And let's, you know, get into breaking down the two types of editing. Now, there's more types. There's proofreading and things like that. When we think about editing a story, these are the main two types. There's developmental editing and line editing. You may be familiar with these words, or macro and micro editing. Macro, also known as developmental editing, and micro, line editing. Micro, macro, maybe familiar if you ever taken a business course or economics. So if you ever have, macro in a nutshell, whenever we see that, there is the big picture. And just like in writing, macro editing is the big picture of your story. Does it make sense? Are your characters relatable, developed? In macro editing or developmental editing, we ask ourselves a lot of questions about the manuscript itself, about your characters. As you're writing, would your character do X, Y, and Z if they're coming from an A, B, and C situation? Does this choice make sense for this character? If they're very shy, if they do something suddenly very bold and they're not under duress or didn't have some life-changing event, does that follow through with the character, the story, and just bringing everything together? That's what macro does. Micro editing are the fine lines of your story. It's almost how you use words to form the story and build the answers to everything at the macro level or at the big picture. So when you do line editing, you can be looking at your sentences and really analyzing, is this word right? Is this word match? Is this taking it out of tone for your story? And keeping everything in line there. So each of these two types of editing have subcategories, such as the all-powerful show and don't tell that falls under line editing. And so to simplify this, if this was a house, micro editing or line editing are the nuts and bolts, the wires, the type of wood you use to build the house. And macro or developmental editing is the overall design for your house or for your story. Does the layout make sense? All the different rooms, just to give you like a little metaphor there to put these two together.
As I mentioned before, continuity is a special principle in your work because it ties into both macro and micro editing or developmental and line editing. So in continuity, we're talking about the tone of the book and the mood for what you're writing when we're discussing it at the macro or developmental level. So let's say you're creating an action-packed science fiction work that later, halfway through the book, starts to read more like a romantic comedy. You're going to be leaving readers wondering if they picked up the right book. General moods by genre, if we focus on horror writing, generally there is a feeling of dread that builds up to absolute fear up until the evil or the monster in the story is destroyed or diminished. And then, it will be normal to have a lighter, maybe the last couple chapters lighten up in mood because the monster is gone, like whatever that evil is in the horror. But generally, once in horror, once that evil is destroyed and out of the story, then the story's pretty much over. So that's okay. You don't have to, break consistency or continuity inside your story for a long amount of time. Now, there are exceptions in every work. We follow the house metaphor. If you have every room a completely different style, vintage, modern, retro, you're going to feel the shift as you're going through. Just like in a book, you're going to feel the different chapters just bouncing around and you don't know what mood to expect. So certain exceptions, I'm going to say, is if, you're writing in multiple points of view to different characters, every character may have a different tone. And so continuity at the developmental level, when we're discussing characters, is going to be to maintain the character personality and the tone that they're in. And you're going to see, though, it can't be, unless you're doing more literary work, perhaps it shouldn't be so dramatic. If they're actually just, all in the same situation or in similar situations, but certain words may change their story, obviously what the characters are going through. And then, you have to use your judgment there. Another example of where there can be an exception in continuity where you're breaking the tone of the story is going to be, let's say it's a let's say it's a first person narrative. Maybe you have a depressed, very cynical character, and you know the story's filled with funny, dark one-liners, and then the person slowly starts to go through a transformation, or they have this lightning moment in your story. Then it makes sense that the mood is a bit uplifted, but to not break the continuity or the mood so much for readers, you can have them lighter, but maybe they're funny one-liners or their sarcasm is still a bit there, but you're still communicating. And again, if your story is similar to horror, if the story is all about this character's transformation or that lightning moment, the story won't be going on for much longer once that, you know, that climax or that point has been reached, generally, unless, you know, this is going to be like an epic kind of story where this story continues. But, you know, you use the judge there. And, you know, if, you know, when you're writing, and let's say, you know, this happens to me sometimes, I'm writing, I have a couple of stories that I'm working on right now. So the Star Strike, you know, my character GG5 is learning a lot. And at this point in the story, you know, it's almost coming of age at this point, because she's growing from a very, like, a smart person, but she's ignorant of the world because she is almost like an alien species. She's very curious about the world and she doesn't know that much. So when I need a kind of a break from that, point of view, I have another story I'm working in the background where it's an adult, and she knows, and she's already at that, you know, tough heroine point that I'm trying to get my other character in. So, you know, I switch between stories, but it's something you have to learn to be conscious of. Another tip you can do if you don't feel like writing in that certain mood is to write a journal. I have one little journal if I'm in a more poetic mood, but I know my story isn't calling for poetry. I just write those few lines of verses down and I get it out. So my emotions or your whatever you're going through that day, if you just need to get it out and then start to work on your writing so you don't break continuity or start being too humorous in the story or making jokes when the story doesn't call for that. And this is where, you know, we get into professional writing where you have to maintain all these things as you go into your writing there. Continuity and micro editing. We examine all the things that help produce this overall feeling of continuity in a work, but more on a line by line basis. So we used our character who was maybe very depressed and then has this lightning moment at a developmental level or macro level. This is going to be more about their personality, that while they may not be so depressed anymore, they still may have their humor or be sarcastic by nature. And this is more about like knowing your characters. But in continuity and the micro editing, it refers more to looking over at the tiny details in your work. And these are things are easy to miss at times. And some of them are, you know, quite simple. But when you're talking about a large body of work, it can happen. It happens to everybody. There's no way around it. You always got to look for this. So if your character speaks with an accent and then suddenly loses his accent chapters into the book, we have a break in continuity. Sometimes, you know, you start off the book and this is, it's called a linguistic deviance when you kind of show the accent more and you play around with words more at an artful literary level. I know there was one draft I was working on in graduate school where it seemed like a good idea at the time, but then as I kept writing, the editing process made it daunting. So then, you know, when I decided to not include that accent anymore, I had to go back and change all those other chapters that where I was physically showing the accent with the actual words with the characters I was using and how I was writing words. So that's like an example. If I didn't do that, it wouldn't, you know, continuity at the micro level would be broken there. Something a little more simpler, if a character has red hair and green eyes on page 3, but then they have blue eyes on page 7, we have some issues there. Another one that may not be so obvious and something to pay attention to just to keep your story tight and fill in the gaps. Let's say there is a dog in the house throughout most of the book that barks a lot and is always just making noise. And then He seems to disappear at opportune times, like when there's a murderer or a burglar happens. I would say that's a break in continuity. You have to find a way to fill in that gap, or where's the dog now? why is he just disappear randomly? So, you know, some things there's not always, you know, so obvious to see. So, and this goes back to filling in gaps and finding ways to explain it if you need to break the rules of your own story. So maybe your character has powers and they need to be vulnerable at a moment. So you need to also, you know, try to make sure you find a believable way so your readers don't roll their eyes, you know, if they've used their powers. This may be debatably at the developmental level, but it still falls under continuity, not to complicate things too much. Or rules of the land on a practical level, switching back, the sky is golden. And then it starts changing to red and blue. This was my personal issue when I was creating the Star Strike. I had to kind of start writing down the rules of my land. If you're a fantasy writer and you're big into world building, as you know, if you didn't plan everything out and then you start changing things about the world that you're writing in, you have to now go back to those other chapters and change it everywhere. And this is little tip when it's time to write things down. There's some people who will plan the whole story out and then write it, or there are people who go along with it. Either way is fine. There's a lot of people that are in between. I'm personally in between. I like to just start writing. But when you start forgetting these rules to keep continuity, you know, going in your story, that's when you definitely need to start writing things down. Because when you go back into the editing process, or you go into editing, you're going to start noticing inconsistencies in your work. And this is more at, you know, this is an example of the micro editing there. You know, so that wraps up continuity on my end. Please, you can send me a voice message if you're listening on Anchor, or visit storiesbyjj.com if you have any questions. And now we're going to go into our open mic segment. I have Skylar Nightingale coming up, and we got an excerpt from Mark Pyle's Obsidian Monsters. It's open mic time. So I got to interview Skylar Nightingale. She's the romance author of two books, Forbidden Axe and Mine Forever, and both are available to purchase now. And she took some time out to discuss her Kindle Vela Still Sky with me. You can find it on Amazon now. Like with all Kindle Velas, you can read chapters 1 through 3 for free, and then you need tokens to unlock it. And I got to preview it, and I can just see the, you know, those, what did he call it, the spicy romance that come in goosebumps, you know, like you can definitely, for romance lovers out there, you guys should definitely check it out. And I love that the protagonist was very confident, educated, you know, she loved herself, and I kind of bonded with her love for lattes. So that was, you know, really good to see. In the interview, I love that Skylar Nightingale brought up some great points when it comes to the editing process, and that is that persistence is key, and that is tricky when she steps away from it, you know, to come back to it. So she actually sets a writing process for herself for like twice a week, and that when she does this, it's, you know, it's hard to procrastinate during those times. It helps her, you know, just get to work there. So you guys should definitely check out that interview. It's on storiesbyjj.com in my blog, and we also have all of her social media links and where her website, we can sign up for her newsletter and check out her work. She has two books and the Kindle Vela out there to sample there. So I will let you guys hear her great author reading, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Still Sky, Chapter 12, Mateo. Packing my things for my trip, I thought about her. Getting in the shower, I thought about her. Brushing my teeth, was this becoming a problem? I didn't like this feeling of not being in control. I was well aware of having a woman and saying goodbye to her the next day without an attachment, but feeling this way was insane. I was screwed. The fire in my heart that burned for her was doused with water when she basically told me that I was a jerk who broke hearts. Although I had that reputation, I had been delivered a raw deal in life. Don't get me wrong, the relationship in my family life prospered. My parents were in a successful relationship, but when it came to me, I seemed to land in a sea of gold diggers and skanks who thought the way to their heart was in my pockets and pants. Is that all I was worth? I often gave in to their demands without a commitment. They didn't oppose it as long as they got what they wanted. It gave me the freedom to date without restrictions. I was a notorious serial dater and flirt. Sometimes I contemplated my actions. Although it was exciting at times, in the end, that life was unfulfilling. Empty.
Next up on Open Mic is Mark Pyle for his Kindle Vella Obsidian Monsters. I will actually be reading an excerpt of that because I don't want you guys to miss out. And he actually got to be on my blog. We got to discuss Obsidian Monsters and his anthology, Dragons of a Different Tale, where he worked with 17 different authors all writing dragon tales. So that was released in November. Check out the blog. You can see the interviews and all his links. Definitely check that out. For urban fantasy fans, Obsidian Monsters, it seems like we're getting just the vibes of it, that it was very much Mission Impossible, Buffy, if you like the Dresden Files. These are definitely things he said that inspired his story. So I definitely want to be able to read more of that soon. It's on my TBR list. And one thing that he mentioned here for the writing process, for writing tips, I do like to gather these things, you know, for you guys, as you noticed. he brought up a really great thing. So I think he's a terrible procrastinator when it comes to writing. So if anyone who participated in NaNoWriMo, just using this as an example, he does Zoom-ins where he writes with other writers occasionally. So he's not, you know, it just goes for accountability. Sometimes people go into writing groups. So this is one that he does, looks like online. And I know when I was in NaNoWriMo, they definitely had a bunch of these going. So writers, if you have... you ever just feel like you need that extra support just to see other people working, if you can't go into a physical writing group, they even have them online. He also uses Scrivener, different softwares. I definitely want to do an episode on that soon, writing support softwares that are out there. So he's definitely one writer that's using them. And even for his Kindle Vella, he actually works with an editor to flesh out his world building. So it was a great interview. He's definitely a busy guy. Working there, and you can find the links to his Kindle Vella and all his social media stuff to definitely check that out. Obsidian Monsters has 5 points of view with characters. I will be reading an excerpt of Maria. Keaton moved closer to me. Maria, I want you to take this seriously. We faced a lot of threats over the last few years, but the Order wants to expand our missions beyond the Midwest. For that to happen, you must show you can control your darker impulses. Growing up, I'd only known my mother, but I lost her soon after joining the Order. Father Keaton stepped in and raised me, but in more of a, "Dad, can I borrow the car?" than a, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned" sort of way. I understand, Father, but even without my mirroring abilities, I'm still stronger and faster, I told him. But your mirroring ability does more than strengthen you, he explained. It changes how you think, turns you into the monster. It is a powerful advantage, but you can't always rely on it. Why not? I sighed, exasperated. I only fight monsters. Normally, you only fight monsters. But monsters sometimes have human followers, and even if not, it might be best if you can defeat a monster without always becoming it. I knew he meant well, was just worried about me. When I used my mirroring ability, I felt the monster's spirit and temporarily gained its special abilities,
but I lost a little bit of myself in the process. I could feel their hunger, their anger, their predatory urges. We've never been able to figure out how this ability of mine even works. Heck, I'm not even sure where the name mirroring ability or mirroring came from. It was just something someone thought up, and I never questioned it. It's just one more special surprise for my demonic father. Oh yeah, did I forget to mention I'm half demon? So that wraps up episode 2 of the Open Mic Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the author readings and learned something new. If you want to support the show, you can visit the Story Lovers page on my website, or if you want to submit even a work in progress just to share, you can go to Open Mic's page, and there is a form where you can upload a file. Please feel free to connect with me on social media. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you listen to the show, it's Stories by JJG on Instagram, or Stories by JJ on TikTok. Even Twitter, Stories by JJ. Definitely easy to find. It's been great talking to you guys, and see you next time.